Hello, my name is Christopher Badger, barrister at Six Pump Court, and welcome to the first Environment Law News podcast, brought to you in association with LexisNexis. In this podcast, we look at the recent environmental amendments to the EU withdrawal bill, mandatory climate risk reporting on the horizon, and the future of environmental law. First, recent environmental amendments to the EU withdrawal bill. The return of the withdrawal bill to the House of Commons has seen the government try to reassert control over the text of the bill after several amendments were made by the House of Lords. The Lords had inserted an amendment entitled Maintenance of EU Environmental Principles and Standards. This would have placed a duty upon the Secretary of State to take steps to ensure that Brexit does not result in the removal or diminution of any aspects of EU law that contribute to the protection and improvement of the environment. This obligation would have been extremely broad in scope. It could have encompassed much more than what is usually thought of as EU environmental law, since other aspects of EU law, such as regulatory standards and enforcement procedures, may also be said to contribute to environmental protection. Unsurprisingly, therefore, the Commons rejected this proposal, removing any reference to any duty on the Secretary of State to prevent the removal or diminution of EU environmental law. What the withdrawal bill does now require is for the Secretary of State to publish a draft bill, putting into law a list of environmental principles, which will include the likes of the precautionary principle and the polluter pays principle. The same bill will establish an independent body to monitor compliance with those principles, with the important power of being able to take proportionate enforcement action, including legal proceedings if necessary, if the independent watchdog considers that a government minister is not complying with environmental law. The draft bill would also require the Secretary of State to publish a statement of policy, perhaps functionally similar to the National Planning Policy Framework, in relation to the application and interpretation of those principles by ministers. The duty to consult prior to publication is not mentioned in the Commons amendment. It's intended that, whilst the principles will be set out in an Act of Parliament, the meaning of those principles and their interpretation is to be set out in the policy statement. This gives rise to the interesting question of what will happen in the future when the European Court of Justice clarifies the meaning of one of these environmental principles. Will the new independent environmental watchdog be required to take the decision of the ECJ into account? Will it be bound by that decision? Or is this an area where the principles to be applied between the EU and the UK will diverge? If so, how can we guarantee that there will be no reduction in environmental standards? And if we've agreed a system of equivalence with EU environmental law, what will happen when one member state considers that the UK's divergence actually amounts to an unfair competitive advantage, resulting from a lack of equivalence? Who's going to resolve that dispute? The development of the environmental watchdog promises to be one of the most significant developments in UK environmental law, as it purports to fill the governance gap that will be created as a result of the UK leaving the EU. However, critically, although the new watchdog is likely to be able to receive complaints from the public as well as NGOs, it is almost universally considered that it will have to be extremely selective about which complaints it investigates. To do otherwise will lead to an overstretched body with ineffective results. Moving to our second item, recommendations for mandatory climate risk reporting by 2022. On the 4th of June 2018, the House of Commons Environmental Audit Committee published its seventh report of session, 2017-19, entitled Greening Finance, Embedding Sustainability in Financial Decision Making. The report will be of interest to businesses, their investors, including pension funds, and regulators alike. The report notes that sectors and companies that do not make a timely low-carbon transition may face costly regulatory or legal action as the world implements the Paris Agreement, but that currently many financial institutions, businesses and regulators continue to ignore the financial risks and opportunities associated with climate change and other sustainability issues. What the report proposes is to make climate reporting on both risk and opportunity mandatory on a comply or explain basis by 2022. This is to try to solve the reluctance of the UK investment chain to engage with the impact that climate change and other environmental problems pose to our economy. The basis for the mandatory reporting requirement is arguably already to be found in Section 172 of the Companies Act 2006, which requires disclosure by companies of climate change risks where they are financially material, insofar as their strategic reports must contain a description of the principal risks and uncertainties facing the company. What the report goes on to propose is that government guidance should be issued to make the obligation under Section 172 more apparent in relation to climate change risk reporting, whilst also amending the Financial Reporting Council's Corporate Governance Code and UK Stewardship Code, and the Financial Conduct Authority's listing rules to highlight the same. Recommendations for standardised scenario testing to be produced by the government are also made to enable it to be easier for businesses to accurately model potential risks to their business going forwards. The UK are sadly behind the times in this area, with France having already implemented mandatory climate change related reporting, which came into force in January of 2016. The French have included a requirement to report on how environmental, social and governance factors, also known as ESG factors, are incorporated into investment policies. Whilst this is not yet a mandatory requirement for investors in the UK, the advent of the Non-Financial Reporting Directive means that investors would be wise to consider their position regarding ESG and the need to report on it. Finally, the future of environmental law. The United Kingdom Environmental Law Association has just held its annual conference at the University of Kent, Canterbury, under the title Past Reflections and Future Horizons: Environmental Law in a Post-Brexit World. The conference threw up a number of significant issues that are likely to heavily influence the development of environmental law in the years ahead. First, the UK needs a clear and ambitious waste strategy. At present, there is insufficient infrastructure to support greater recycling of waste and insufficient capacity in the UK for energy recovery. There seems little point in demanding ever-increasing levels of recycling if the UK is simply incapable of delivering this. Second, individual responsibility and stewardship are to be key factors in driving environmental improvements. Corporate responsibility is also likely to be a key issue, with ever-increasing emphasis on natural capital, effectively the financial assessment of a business's impact on the environment. Third, there is scope for the further development of the Environmental Tribunal and for mandatory targets for environmental improvements to be put into law, against which progress towards the aims and targets of the 25-year Environment Plan can be assessed. Also featuring highly was the crossover between environmental law and other fields, in particular infrastructure planning, corporate responsibilities, and the health and well-being agenda. Environmental law can no longer be viewed in isolation to other key areas of national policy and law. It is an extremely exciting time to be an environmental lawyer. Thank you for tuning in for this Environmental Law News podcast. For more information on any of these stories, please contact Six Pump Court or my colleagues at LexisNexis.